No BS women. Happy Friday. Welcome to the Clubhouse After Party. I'm hoping some of you come on in and join me while I talk about the amazing things that went on over in Clubhouse this morning. First, I want to say, hey, Emily, yay, she's here. First, I want to say this, okay? So for those of you that don't know, Clubhouse is a brand new social media app that is still beta testing, okay? Corinne has decided to use this app instead of her public Facebook Lives. So each Friday, she gets in there and she does a weight loss Q&A, just like she used to do on her public page on Facebook, okay? So you guys aren't missing anything. Because the beautiful thing is, Emily takes these amazing notes, gives them to us, and we get to come in here and share with you the best parts of what Corinne said during the Clubhouse, okay? So, you have me today because Corinne had has an all-day meeting. She handed over the Clubhouse after party to me. So, here we go. I'm so glad to see you all. I'm so glad. Hey, hi to everyone. Hi to everyone. So, here are a few things that we learned this morning or that Corinne talked about. And these notes that Emily gave are so good. It's just like snapshots of amazing quotes. So the first one is, when you get close to goal, remind yourself I am doing all the things I need to do to lose the last 10. And I need to make sure I'm exercising patience doing all the things. So Here's what happened. Somebody came into Clubhouse and they asked Corinne, they said, I'm just doing all the things and I can't lose this last 10 pounds and what do I do? And so Corinne talked to them, right? She said, are you really doing all the things? Are you having patience? Are you leveling up? You know, all those things that she talks about in the membership, right? A lot of times during the last 10 or 15 or even 20 pounds, it just takes being just a hair more intentional with your doable hunger method, with tweaking your good, better, best, right? So that was the message that she gave. She said, you just have to make sure you're exercising patience and doing all the things you need to do. Then someone else came in and said, I don't remember when she said, June or September. She said, I just don't believe I can lose the weight. So Corinne coached her and she said, you know, you can think you won't lose weight. But that's really some bullshit because you're doing some things, right? She was making her plans. She was identifying her hunger cues. She was journaling. So what she was doing was she was thinking about all the things that could go wrong instead of all the things that she was doing, all the things that she was celebrating. So the message here is, y'all, when you get in that mindset, I'll never lose this weight, I'll never, you know, get to goal. You've got to stop. You've got to catch yourself telling yourself that stuff and say, let's just take a minute now and see what I did do today, right? In your planner, on the assessment page, there are those three blocks that say things that went right today. That's what you use those for. So that when you think you can't lose weight, you have to go back and tell your brain that's just crap. I can lose weight because I'm learning to do all these new things. I believe in this program. I believe in what Corinne tells me. And while I'm learning how to believe in myself, I can believe in this. I did these things right. Super, super powerful, right? Because we all have that thought in our brain over something at some point. I'll never get this. I'm not doing a good enough job. We all have that thought. But we have to pull ourselves out of that thought for just a minute and say, okay, I hear that thought. I hear myself telling myself that. And I want to think about it differently. What did I do that went right today for my weight loss, for my job, for my kids, whatever it is? Let's see what else we've got here. Oh, here's a great one. Remind yourself that it's normal to feel like you're going to fail. Same thing, right? If it doesn't make it, it doesn't make it true. It still feels scary, but it's no wonder you think you're going to fail because you've never given yourself the opportunity to believe you could or can work on your mindset. Same thing. That has been the same conversation. I love it. You need to give yourself the opportunity to believe in yourself. So good. Then a lady came on and said, I always seem to self-sabotage before my weigh-in dates, before my weigh-in day. So on Thursday night, I get an urge for nachos and I eat the nachos and then I've blown it. So Corinne said this. She said about self-sabotage, if you're having the thought, it was just one overeat or this won't hurt me, it's a signal that it won't hurt the scale, not that it won't hurt me. Because this lady was making it all of her, putting all of her success eggs in the scales basket. This means the only thing you're prioritizing is getting the scale down. That's where your value currently lies, the number on the scale. You need to think about your why, what your why really is, and why are you really in it to win it? So back to the same point, right? Isn't it funny how all of this circles back around? You're going to have urges. You're going to self-sabotage. You just got to cue into yourself. You just got to say, okay, why did that happen? What was I not thinking about? What was I not doing? How was I feeling? You have to question yourself. And then you have to go back and say, in that moment, when I'm having that urge to self-sabotage, what if I just pause for a minute and think about the reasons I want to lose my weight, the reasons I want to better my life, and don't attach it to the scale. The scale is just measuring gravitational pull. That's how it's doing. It's not like, we talk about this sometimes. The scale doesn't, you know, it's not like the magic eight ball. It doesn't give you a readout like you suck or you failed or look at you, you're amazing. It doesn't give you an opinion. You do all that with your mind, right? All it does is give you a number. You decide what the number means. So when you're approaching weigh-in day and you start to get nervous about what that scale is going to mean, of course you're going to like fall back and say, yeah, I just need to eat. I don't need to think about this. I'm a little nervous. Right? That's where the self-sabotage comes in. Because you've attached your value, your success to the number on the scale. And then what happens? You look at the scale and you judge yourself a failure. It's a no, y'all. It's a no. This is why you have to go back and you have to change that conversation about what's going right. What's happening here that I can build on? What things did I do right today? What things went right today? So good. Oh my gosh, so good. Then we talked about anxiety. Somebody came in and said, I have anxiety. And I hate me. She basically said, I don't like that I have anxiety. I don't know what to do with it. And Corinne said, when anxiety happens, remind yourself, here are the thoughts I want to think. Then decide the relationship you want to have with anxiety. It may always be there, and you have to make peace with it. If you wish you didn't have it or dread it, or say you shouldn't have it, that's where you feel the bullshit. You have to accept it. So what does that mean? That means if you have anxiety, if you have PCOS, if you have bad knees like this girl, whatever is going on in your body that you have a judgment about that you don't like, what you're doing is you're just piling a shitty thought on top of whatever's going on. And that shitty thought is what creates even more distress. All right. So if you're, you know, upset that you have anxiety, you've got two things to deal with then. You've got the anxiety and the upset. So what if you just say, you know what? I have anxiety and I manage my anxiety every day, one way or two. I either eat through it or I talk to myself about it or I journal about it or I breathe through it or I allow it to be there. Either way, you're managing it, right? It's the same thing with my knees. If I get mad every time I try and walk up a hill because my knees hurt, what am I going to remember? I'm going to remember the mad. I'm going to remember the pain. Instead, if I walk up the hill despite my knees hurting, Then I get to feel the success because I managed the pain in a different way with a different thought. So the beautiful thing about what Corinne did too is she referred this girl to Coach Judith. And Coach Judith has a wonderful thing that she says about having anxiety. She says it gets to sit in the chair with her, but it doesn't get to steer. It doesn't get to drive the day. She allows it to be with her. She allows it to just be there and be part of her, part of who she accepts as herself. And so that's what that conversation was about. It was super cool. Super cool. All right. Let's see what else we got. Quit getting upset that it's exhausting. This kind of goes with this too, right? When you think this is exhausting, that's entitlement, that it should be easier for you. You believe that you shouldn't have to do the work. So this can apply to anxiety. It can apply to weight loss. It can apply to anything, right? If you have the thought, this is exhausting, how does that make you feel, right? It gives you dread. It gives you failure. It gives you all the things. If you just allow it to take as much time as it needs to take or allow it to be there, then you don't have to go through the dread and the failure and the exhaustion, right? So good. You don't have to do anything. You get to choose to do things, and that's okay. So this one was mine. I was coaching one of the girls who had come on and said, all these things are happening in my life and they're stressing me out. Now, I want you to think about the think, feel, do cycle. Right? Stress goes in the feelings line. The things that are happening are the things that you're thinking about that are causing the stress. So, for instance, COVID doesn't stress you out. Your thoughts about COVID stress you out. In this particular girl's case, she had two deaths in her family. And she said, I asked her, why was she stressed and overwhelmed about those deaths? And she said, because the COVID's getting closer to me. And I said, that's the thought that's causing the stress. If you were solely focused on losing your two family members, you probably wouldn't feel stressed. You would probably feel sad. You'd probably miss them. You'd probably feel love, right? So her concern was that the stress was reacting in her body, and I'm certain it was, because stress will do that. Think about that unconscious brain, that primal brain of yours. When your body gets stressed and tenses up, it gets on alert. It's like we got to hold on to all the food, all the drink, all the things, because we don't know if we're going to get a meal again. That's the caveman days. That's the way our primal brains were created. So if you're creating a lot of stress with your thoughts, it could very well affect the physiology of your body. Nobody wants that. We need to manage our stress. We need to actually feel the feelings that are appropriate with what we're dealing with. So she was saying, I was asking her, why were you stressed about all this? And she said, because I've got to drive cross country. I have to drive across country. I have to be with my family. I have to take care of this. You know, I have to help with the arrangements. And I said, oh no, you don't have to do any of that. You're choosing to do that out of love for your family, out of love for the people that you've lost. You know, you are making those choices. And when you think about it in terms of, I am making these choices because it's what I want to do, feels so much different than being stressed. So, let's see. We had a couple of good, I'll wrap this up. We're getting long. I'll wrap this up. We had some amazing journal prompts come out of here. And since we are rolling out the journaling course in March, I wanted to leave you with some journal prompts. So when you think about your younger self and being scared of there not being enough food or being scared of anything that happened, ask yourself, what was I thinking about then? And once you've responded to that, then answer, what do I think about not having access to food today? Or being in the same situation I was in as a child. And then make a list of all the ways that you could handle it today. So a lot of times what happens to us is that we react today based on habits that we learned as a child. If we were forced to eat too much, if we didn't have enough, you know, we go back to those childhood experiences and feel in the moments what we're feeling, what we felt as a child, because we're regurgitating the same thoughts. What you need to do is redirect your brain. You acknowledge what happened back then, but then you look today and you say, how am I safe today? What is within my control? What can I choose to see? What can I choose to believe right now that does keep me safe? Another one, you can visualize yourself in the future, what you're thinking and feeling. Give your brain a chance to start believing that you can do it. I love future self work. I used to hate it. I didn't understand it. I didn't get it. I'm the one who cried when Corinne asked me to set a goal. I just couldn't picture myself in the future. And I think what I was doing was I was looking forward too far. I think what I was doing was, it was too much for me to think about. So sometimes I'll just bring it back in and I'll say, okay, when I go to bed tonight, what's that future Kathy thinking? And how can I reach her? Or I might look a month out and say, you know, I'm going to lose 3 pounds this month. When I've lost 3 pounds in a month, how am I going to feel? What does that, Kathy, look like? So when you visualize in the future, think about what she's thinking and feeling and see if you can capture some of that and think and feel it today. When you have a negative thought, here's another journal prompt. When you have a negative thought, write about how could this thought maybe not be true? Okay, how could this thought maybe not be true? So let's say I am super upset because my husband ate my food out of the refrigerator. And I think, well, he shouldn't have done that. How could that thought not be true? Right? Maybe he should have done it because he was hungry. Maybe he should have done it because it was the only thing in the refrigerator. Maybe it was okay that he did it because I didn't tell him it was mine. You see, if you start to think about, all right, is there any way I can come up with that this might not be true? It takes the temperature down. And then the last one is, this is why my weight loss is so important to me. And it can't have anything to do with the scale. Make a list. Back to our girl that we coached about the scale. Make a list. This is why my weight loss is important to me. Sound familiar, right? Compelling reason, my whys. I would challenge you all today to make a list of at least 10 reasons your weight loss is important to me that have nothing to do with the number on the scale. 10 reasons, everybody. This is your call to action. Put them in the Facebook comments here. Send them to your accountability partners. I'd love to see them. 10 reasons, and I'll do it too. Are there any questions? That is, I don't see any questions. That is the recap from the clubhouse today. Remember, I had the highlights. All of Emily's notes, which are amazing, will be attached to this replay on the website. It'll go on the podcast. And, Corinne always tries to over-deliver, always tries to make sure you have everything you need to lose weight. So I guess I'm going to call it. I hope you guys have an amazing Friday, and I will see you soon. Okay?